All right, so today we're going to learn a small selection of the second reading of Parshas Kisisa. And this is especially meaningful today because today is Tanis Esther. Today is the fast of Esther. And on a fast day, the Torah reading that accompanies the morning service and the afternoon service begins with the very words that are studied in today's Chumash by Chaim Leisher. So I thought it was interesting and we'll study that. Let's take a look at the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus, Perek Lamed Beis. We'll start the reading together at verse 7, Pasuk Zayin. So Moshe Rabbeinu is on the mountain, and he's oblivious. He has no clue of all these things that are happening. And the Jewish people build an idol. It's awful. And not only do they build an idol, there's the lynch Chur who tries to stop them. They kill him. They build an idol. And eventually, it doesn't just end up stopping with idolatry. It goes from idolatry to adultery and even to murder. And all this is happening early in the morning before Moshe Rabbeinu has a chance to come down on the 17th day of Tammuz. In fact, we are told that knowing that Moshe Rabbeinu would soon come down the mountain, the Satan woke the people up early, and they began to do exactly that. It says they worshipped this idol. They brought a scent offerings and peace offerings. They sat down to eat, to drink, to revel, and they indulged in adultery, forbidden relationships, and this led to murder. We don't know exactly why. Maybe there was fights over different relationships, but it was a very bad situation. And into the circumstances of adultery, idolatry, and murder, God speaks to Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. God speaks to Moses saying, Lech reid. He's scolding Moshe. He says, go down. Go descend from this mountain. Ki shiches amcha. Because your nation has become corrupt. Now, Rashi tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was being told not only should he descend from the mountain, but he should descend from the lofty spiritual level that he achieved. And the reason is because the people that have become corrupt, this is the nation, Asher Ha'elesa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. This is the nation that you brought up from the land of Mitzrayim. Now, our sages tell us that the emphasis here is on the people that Moshe Rabbeinu brought up from the land of Mitzrayim, because there was a mixed multitude, an eight of Rav, who attached themselves to the Jewish people, and they wanted to be part of this. God didn't tell Moshe to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his compassion, in his love for everybody, couldn't say no. So Moshe Rabbeinu brought these people up, and God says, the people that you brought up from Egypt without consulting me, you made that decision, and they became corrupt. They have corrupted some of the Israelites. I elevated you to your present spiritual level because of the people, for the sake of the people. Now that they have become spiritually and morally corrupted, so then your status is going to drop as well. And Hashem expels Moshe from Bezdin Shomayla, from the heavenly court. The pasuk goes on to say, Soru maher min haderech asher tzivisam. They have been quick to turn from the path that I have commanded them to follow. And what did they do? Asu lohem egel masecha. They have made themselves a molten calf. Vayishtachavu lo. They have prostrated themselves before it. Vayizbechu lo. And they have brought offerings before it. Vayomru. And they said, Eila Elohecha Yisrael. Imagine this. They said, this is your God, Israel. Asher ha'elucha me'eretz Mitzrayim, who brought you out of Egypt. They credited it, the idol, with all the miracles, says God, that I did for them. I did miracles for them, and they credit the golden calf with those miracles. So God is very, very unhappy with Moshe Rabbeinu and very unhappy with the Jewish people. And that would be an understatement. In verse 9, God says further to Moshe, Vayemer Hashem al Moshe, God says to Moshe, Ra'isi esa omaze, I have observed this people. Vehine am ksheirefu. And they are indeed a stiff-necked people. They do not accept rebuke easily, if at all. Then again, who does? But especially Jewish people. We're a very difficult nation. So God says to Moshe, and here's where we'll start to analyze this a little more deeply. Va'ata, and now, God says, Hanicholi, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Let me be. Vayichar api bohem. and I am going to display so much indignation against them that I am going to destroy them. I'll destroy them entirely. I'll make you into a great nation. I'm going to destroy everybody, God says. Even those who did not participate in this act of idolatry, I'm going to start all over. We're going to hit the reset button. And Moshe Rabbeinu, you are going to be the one to be the progenitor of this great nation. So the Pasuk says, Va'ata hanicholi. God says, now leave me alone. What, was Moshe grabbing God? That God said, leave me alone? God came to Moshe and said, out you go. You need to leave. You need to leave this exalted spiritual reality where you haven't eaten or slept or drunk for 40 days and nights and absorbed the essence of wisdom. You need to leave because your people have become corrupt and you're responsible because you brought out the Erev Rav. And God says, now leave me alone. But Moshe didn't say anything. What is the meaning of leave me alone? So the Psadja goes and says something very interesting. He says, God said to Moshe, if you stop praying for 1 second, if you stop for one moment to pray on their behalf, then my anger is going to flare. The problem with this is we don't find Moshe Rabbeinu davening anywhere. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know about this. So it's very hard to understand how Reb Sadia Goin could square the reality as we know it with the notion im techdal mele hispal, if you stop davening. The Tzoror Hamor says that Moshe Rabbeinu sat there and he didn't say a word. He accepted God's rebuke, didn't say a word. However, he felt crushed inside. He felt tremendous sadness at what happened. And the sadness that Moshe Rabbeinu felt for the descent of the nation in and of itself was something that shielded the nation. Because Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, what do you want from me? I'm here in the mountain. I followed instructions, did everything else. What do you want from me? But he felt responsible. And it bothered him. It hurt him. And the fact that it hurt Moshe, that it bothered Moshe, this is what defended the Jewish people. It's an incredible insight, an amazing lesson for us. At the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu felt bad for the people, that Moshe Rabbeinu took it personally. And of course, this is really what the Rebbe is all about. Now, Rashi says something very interesting, and it has to be Pshuta Shel Mikra. Rashi says, we do not hear about this business of Moshe Rabbeinu praying. Very hard to square that with Reb Sadia Goin's words. We don't hear about Moshe Rabbeinu's feelings. So what does it mean, Hanichali? Hanichali is explicit. What Moshe Rabbeinu might have been doing, we don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us. So why did the scripture explicitly tell us Hanichali? So Rashi says, Adayin leshomainu shehispalel Moshe aleim. We do not know anything about Moshe Rabbeinu engaging in prayer. We haven't heard a word about Moshe's reaction. But God's already saying, leave me alone. V'hu oimer, and God says, Hanichali, let me be. Rashi says, Elakan posach le pesach. Here, God opened the door to Moshe. He said to Moshe, there's hope. There's hope. What's the hope? Haidiyai, he alluded, he hinted to him, Shadavar talibai, it's in your hands. How did he allude that? He said, Hanichali, leave me be. And what we're saying really is, Im yispalul aleihem, if you won't leave me be, then in that case, lo yichalim, then I won't destroy them. But the message was being conveyed, leave me be, but Moshe would think to himself, I didn't grab you. I'm not engaged. God says, leave me be. So Moshe Rabbeinu could understand that if he wouldn't leave Hashem be, and he would pray, that this would make all the difference. But Moshe Rabbeinu cannot be told by God to pray. This he has to know himself. There was a man who I knew his son very well, as a classmate of mine, whose wife was very ill. And every Shabbos, he used to go over to the Rebbe by Verbrengen and ask a brach of his wife. Never failed. One Shabbos, he began to walk over, and the Rebbe waved him away. So he sat down. The Rebbe later called him over and said l'chaim to him. And he said, when I waved you away, that's when you're supposed to come. That's when you're supposed to come. So what was a game? It's not a game. I mean, Hashemayim, the Rebbe knew there was some kind of opening, but a person has to push forward. You need to take initiative. You can't just wait for it to be served on a silver platter. There was a Verbrengen, I think it was 1956 or 57. It could be, it was Purim. And the Rebbe spoke about the pitfalls of wealth and how wealth could destroy a person spiritually. And people, it gets to their head, and money corrupts them. A long sikha about the terrible disaster that money brings, excessive money brings to people. And then after that, the Rebbe said, anybody who wants to be wealthy should raise their hand. So who raised their hand?
The eight people.
A few. Less than a dozen people raised their hand. And they all became multimillionaires. Hundreds of millions, every one of them. And many of them corrupt, by the way. Hashem should forgive me for saying that. And then the Rebbe was so upset after. The Rebbe said, you need funding in order to be able to do all these wonderful things. It was an Eis Ratzon. It was a time of grace. And I could have given you the bracha. So why did all of a sudden everybody became big Hasidim? Oh, I'm not going to raise my hand. So why did the Rebbe do that? Because that's how it is. Like before this Eis Ratzon, he first had to say what he had to say. And he had to make it challenging. Hashem makes it like somewhat challenging for Moshe. He doesn't tell him what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu, if you'll daven, then we'll talk. No, he said, leave me be. And Moshe Rabbeinu should understand, leave me be. Oh. So if he said, leave me be, that means now I have to go. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu does go. And that's what we hear about in verse 11. Vayichal Moshe.
As opposed to staying and pleading with him, with Hashem?
Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu can just give up. God says, nothing to talk about. I'm destroying them. So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't accept. He doesn't accept what God says. Think about that. This is a much longer story. I spoke about it in one of my sermons last year. Nebuchadnezzar Tyler was murdered. I spoke about this. That the Rebbe spoke a sicha after after Peshlei Lapine was murdered. And the Rebbe was upset with Hashem. And he was speaking to us, but he was letting us in a conversation with God. And there was a Halakha survivor, an Auschwitz survivor, who was standing next to me. And I was translating the talk of the Rebbe live. We had a live hookup and we were in Los Angeles then. And he was listening. I was translating in Yiddish and English. He spoke Yiddish, but he was sitting next to me. And after the sikha, he said to me with tears in his eyes, he said to me, your Rebbe is a real Rebbe. He said, he's a real Rebbe. So he said, in Poland, he says, it was Gute Yidden. A good Yid, we called him Gute Yidden in Yiddish, good Yidden. So what's a good Yid? A good Yid says good, good, good. Whatever God does, you say good. He says, a real Rebbe, he argues with the Eibishter. A Moshe Rabbeinu argues with the Eibishter. And that's exactly what happens here. Moshe doesn't say, oh, you destroy the people. Okay, God, no problem. He says, no. And that's where verse 11 begins. This is actually where the Kriya Sotera begins today. Vayichal Moshe es pnei Hashem alikav. Moshe Rabbeinu, at this point, in verse 11, begins to plead with Hashem. Vayomer, and he says, Lama Hashem yechere apcha ba'amecha. Why, God, will you allow or display such indignation against your people, and allow your anger to flare forth. Asher hoitzeiso mi'eretz Mitzrayim, the nation you took out of Egypt. Right? God said to Moshe, Amcha she'heleisa. Moshe Rabbeinu says back, the nation you took out of Egypt. B'koyach gadol, with such might, u'biyad chazaka, and the great power and a mighty hand. Not this calf. In other words, first of all, what's the business of Moshe Rabbeinu saying, this is the nation that you took out of Mitzrayim? Was your argument with God? God said, you took him out. He says, no, you took him out. So, very interestingly, the Ur HaChaim says, you're blaming me for the Eid of Rav? So Moshe said, fine. So if the Eid of Rav sinned, why should the Jewish people suffer? If it's my nation who sinned, by your words, you said it's my nation, the people I took out. Okay, fine. They leave the rest of the people alone. The Chizkuni says, it's like a person who says to his friend, he's like, I understand you're angry. But because of the anger of the moment, you're going to give away something you invested so much in? You took these people out. B'koyach gadol, b'yad chazaka, great power, mighty hand. So now you're going to destroy them? What, because of a whim, because of a moment? You made such a big investment. Let's try to save the investment. So that's the understanding of what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying when he said that to Hashem, Amcha asher hoitzeisa, the nation that you took out. Now, very interestingly, Rashi's comment is like this. Rashi says, Lom Hashem, why God? Why God? So, by the way, the word Vayichal, Rashi doesn't explain. But the Ibn Ezra says that Vayichal comes from the terminology, he says it's a prayer to inhibit or remove anger. It's a prayer to remove anger, that's Vayichal. I don't know what the basis of that is, but that's what he says. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Moshe Rabbeinu was praying, Shalaitochel Aleihem Midas Adin, that the attribute of judgment should not take root. Because this is terminology in Hebrew, chalois. Chalois means when something attaches itself or something becomes formally affixed. And so he was saying that the measure of judgment shouldn't be affixed. But we read it usually as simply as Moshe pleaded. That's the notion of Vayichal. What did he plead? What did he say? He said, Lama Hashem, why God? What do you mean, why God? You know why. God just told you why. What do you mean, why God? So Rashi explains, Moshe Rabbeinu's response to God was, Klum miskana el chacham b'chacham. A wise person. Who does he become jealous of? Another wise person. Giber b'giber. A person who's mighty, so he becomes jealous or becomes offended with somebody else who's mighty. So Moshe says, I understand God, if they would have accepted or taken upon themselves another spiritual deity, another shaman, some spirit, and worship a spirit instead of God. He said, what did they worship? A stupid molten calf that they just made 5 minutes ago? What are we talking about, somebody that even has any power whatsoever? If it would have some power, if it would be a chocham. So a person's giving a class. He's a wise person. And somebody else is giving a class. He's not as wise. And the crowds go there, and this guy is a chacham, and he gets nobody. How does he feel? He feels upset. He feels offended. What if the person is an absolute idiot? The person is saying pure gibberish and narishkeit. Are you going to be jealous of that? The people are stupid. They're running after gibberish. People are, they don't take a mighty person. They take a person who, this person is offended by. He's less strong. It feels bad. It feels like muznach, neglected. Why don't they appreciate me? It feels unappreciated. But if they're taking a person as an absolute weakling, do you feel neglected? The people are foolish. So what are you getting angry about? That's how Rashi rationalizes the lama. Because that's very funny. Veichal begins to pray. Lama, why? Why lama? God just said lama. What is your question? It's like a funny thing. God said, here's why I'm angry. Moshe says, so why are you angry? And this is supposed to inhibit or mitigate anger? I tell you why I'm angry. Why are you angry? So that's Moshe Rabbeinu's response. Moshe Rabbeinu's response is, there's nothing to be angry about. This is absolute folly. It's foolishness. The people know full well that you brought them out of Egypt. Not one of them thinks for one moment that a golden calf brought them out of Egypt. How could a golden calf bring them out of Egypt? The golden calf didn't exist till they just made him. How could it be the one that brought them out of Egypt? So why would you be so angry? Why would you execute them without trial, wipe out a whole nation? You know full well that there's nothing here. It doesn't begin. So the Rebbe notes something very interesting. We're going now to page Shin Ches. The Rebbe says that the source of this, Shin Ches, Simon Chav Ches, the 20th entry. The Rebbe says the source of this is in the Gemara. It's the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah on page 55. And the Gemara says, Klum miskana adam, does a person get jealous or feel offended, ela chacham b'chacham, a wise person, when another wise individual is favored over them. Giber b'giber, a powerful person, and they favor another powerful person over them, or usher b'usher, a person is wealthy, and they favor somebody else's affluence over them. So the Rebbe asks, 1 second, the Gemara gives us not one, not two, but three, chacham, giber, and usher. He talks about strength, wisdom, and money. And here Rashi only talks about the concept of chacham b'chacham and giber b'giber. So, in the language of a famous anti-Semite, what happened to the Benjamins? How come the money isn't part of this? We got adultery, idolatry, and murder. Money all of a sudden is off the table. So the Rebbe says, Yesh lishol, efei, madua mishtamish Rashi rak b'shtei hadugmois. Why does Rashi reach for only two of the examples that the Gemara says, chacham b'chacham, giber b'giber, the wisdom and the strength, Umashmit is a dugma hashlishis. He seems to have omitted the third paradigm. And that's the idea of wealth, asher ba'asher. V'yesh lefadish. So the Rebbe explains, because it's really not about the Benjamins. Medivra kodesh baruch ulemeshe. From the words of God to Moshe Rabbeinu, Soru maher min aderech asher tzivisom. They have swiftly veered from the path that I have instructed them. Osu lehem egel masecha. They made themselves a molten calf. Vayishtachavu lei, vayizbuchu lei. They bowed to it. They prostrated themselves. They brought offerings. Vayoyimru. And they said, Elo elehecha Yisrael. This is your God, Israel. Asher he'elucha me'eretz Mitzrayim, who raised you up, who brought you out of the land of Israel. So mashma, the intimation here is, shecharein apesh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the anger of God flared, lo beglal etzem avodas ha'egel, not because they worshipped the golden calf. Worshipping the golden calf is just foolish. what really seems to have angered Hashem when they said, this is the eagle that took you out of Egypt? Because otherwise, Moshe Rabbeinu could be told, the Saru Ma'arim and Aderech, they veered quickly off the path, they became corrupt, and they worshipped an idol. I said, worship me, and they made an idol. But God, in his complaint to Moshe, when he states his case to Moshe, he says, not only did they make a molten calf, not only did they prostrate themselves, not only did they bring offerings, v'yoyimru, and they said, Eila Lecha, this is your God. And they could have stopped right there. That would be the problem. Worshipped, prostrated, and they said, this is your God. Say, Eila Lecha, Asher He'elucha. This is the God who brought you up, Me'aretz Mitzrayim. So the real issue here, the thing that really angered God, was not only they worshipped a calf, but that they incredibly, stupidly said, this is the calf that brought you out of Egypt. That was the issue. So this is the Pidush of Meisha. This is the words of Meisha then. Klum iskana el chacham b'chacham, giber b'giber. Does a wise person get offended, accepted if he's favored over another wise person, or a mighty person if he's, somebody else's power is favored? Kedei lehetzi es b'nei Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim, in order to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, ula anhigim b'midbar, and to lead them to the desert, yesh tzerich b'tchunes shal chachma u'gvura. What did you need? What did you need? You needed wisdom, and you needed might. This has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with money. God had money. Who did he buy the food and provisions from? God has potential. God has might. He gave them manna. He shielded them from the elements. He took them out of Egypt. There was tremendous wisdom. But money? Money was not an issue here. There's no reason God should say, hey, they think somebody else has more money than me. Money was never the issue here. Ashidas lo mazeis, hitchunasha ain't in the guest klal. There's nothing to, so to speak, be jealous of, because you want to say there was strategy. The calf gave us the strategy. He told us how to go. He told us how to manipulate the Pharaoh. Fine. You want to say there was power. The calf crushed the Pharaoh. He crushed the Egyptian armies. It was the forces that he... Fine. But money? Where did you find that money was even an issue over here? The Benjamins, as they say, didn't come into play. And because of this, that's why Meisha would not have mentioned it. So it's true. The idea is taken. Rashi takes the idea from the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. But if you read the Chumash Kipshutei in the Vayechal Meisha, Meisha is responding to God. God's anger is about that they favored an idol, saying the idol took us out of Egypt. And what's Hashem's response? What's Meisha's response? Was there anything to be jealous of? What did they really think that an idol had the wisdom, the strategy, had the power and the force to take them out of Egypt? It's a nothing thing. This is a moment of temporary insanity. This is foolishness. It's not a reason to obliterate a nation. And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer begins. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu continues to pray. It's interesting, in Parshas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu also documents his prayer. And the prayer is somewhat different. But the Ibn Ezra says that both prayers actually comprise a single prayer. The prayer of Parshas Kisisa and the prayer of Parshas Ekev are not different from one another. The Baal HaTosfos also say that. It's just here we emphasize one detail, and later on in Parshas Ekev, other details are emphasized. But this is Moshe Rabbeinu standing in the lurch, defending the Jewish people, ultimately successfully, although some of the anger and angst of the Chet HaEgel has continued to punctuate, unfortunately, and visit our people over the long and difficult and painful Golos. And we all hope and pray that Amir Tzashem, very, very soon, and in our time, we will finally be zeicha, will merit to the coming of Mashiach, and only goodness, b'mheira, will be amenu, amen.